Okay. 1 Corinthians 15. Yes, 15 verse 1. We're two chapters away. And last week we learned that about the order in the assembly. Paul's addressing his issues. And he's coming to chapter 15 and he's winding it up. After he's did all his correcting, all his instruction, all his encouraging to the Corinthians. And, you know, I like he finishes up in he's finishing up. In chapter 15, verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And you know how we use that saying in a secular sense is, you save the best for last. Well, he's saving the best for last. This is the last issue that he discusses, the last problem issue. Is how the Corinthians were responding to the resurrection. That's why he says, moreover, he says, above all the other things that we discussed, he says, I want to talk to you about the gospel that I preached unto you. Wherein, he says, which you receive, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. By which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. You say, well, why is he saying that to the Corinthians? He's reminding them where they stand positionally, right, if they believed. But not only that, here's, and Paul by no means was a legalist. But don't we have the tendency when people don't act like we think they should act as believers? He couldn't be. There's no way I don't think he's saved. Don't we do that?
Yeah.
It's just ingrained in us where if you see, you judge that man's salvation. And Paul, he said it to the Galatians, didn't he? He said, I'm afraid of you. And the Corinthians, he says, now this is, he says, where the gospel that I declare unto you, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, he's not saying just memorizing it. You know, you can quote that. Are you saved? Yeah. How do you know you're saved? I believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. 1, 2, 3. I got them all checked off. Mm-hmm. But when he says keeping in memory, that doesn't mean I memorized it. He's saying to remember what actually happened.
What you actually came to believe.
And now we're in Corinthians, but I'll go back to the Galatians. When he said to the Galatians, he says that Jesus Christ was evidently set forth, crucified among you. Hold your hand. 15. Look at Galatians. I'm going to the left. It's to the right.
Do I go where?
Galatians. Galatians. It's chapter. Yes. Chapter 3, verse 1. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? What is the truth for them? What was the truth for them?
Christ, evidently crucified.
Christ crucified, right? He says, whose eyes, who before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. How was Jesus Christ evidently or clearly, plainly set forth, crucified among them?
By the words of Paul.
By the words of Paul?
Or in some cases, they were there.
They were lots of contemporaries.
They were.
Well, they were contemporaries.
Yeah, well, they didn't see Christ crucified.
No, I meant contemporaries. It was like things that are happening right now are contemporary to us. They lived at that time.
Okay, let me read it again. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?
Well, he said truth.
He says,
but all of the, well, I said Paul declared it to them, and you said, what else?
Right, right. I was, yeah, you don't know what I'm thinking, but you don't know what I want you to say. But he did say this. He says that you have not obeyed what?
Truth.
Synonym?
The word.
Gospel. Yes. That's how you think. The first thing he said to them was, the gospel that I preach to you is not what? After man. And he says, how could you leave this gospel to another, which is what?
Not
another.
So but they were going, it's like legalist, or they were trying to go back to people were trying to say that they were trying to make them go back to the wall.
In Corinth? Or in Galatians? Well, we'll get mixed up. In Galatians, they try to get them to go back to the law.
Okay.
In Corinthians, they denied the resurrection. They said the resurrection was past. But not to, that's the trouble you get when you go back to other books. But to Galatians, he said the truth was evidently set forth, Christ crucified among you. The way he did that was he painted a picture of the gospel to them. And it was so clear, he said, it was evidently set forth. He said, there's no way you could have missed that. That he, his death, burial, and resurrection, Paul made it very, very clear.
The evidence he gave.
About Christ. Crucified among them. That's how when he says that, that was over. Crucifixion was over. But he says, you could almost visualize this when I preach to you. He said it was that clear.
Don't you remember?
And he says, this, just to finish that out, this only what I learned of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. There's the gospel again. So Paul, the Galatians didn't stand in the gospel. They heard it clearly. But Hebrews says a little thing that the word they heard, it was not mixed with faith. You can hear a thing and not believe it.
The Jews had the same problem. Romans 9 or 10. They were.
Right.
So that's called falling from grace.
When they tried to
accept it, and then the law givers came down, and they punch rid of that.
Sure. After you trust Christ, if you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, if you believe in a it was a satisfying sacrifice to God, it should be satisfying to you. When he said that this was one time, it was done for you, it's done, you're complete. What can you add to that? If you believe that, you'll rest. If you don't believe that, you'll work.
I never heard of that.
Right?
Absolutely.
And Paul is saying, because you're working, I don't think you're not open.
You're not believing.
You're not believing. And when here's a, and you can't be scared of, we're not in Galatians, but you can't be scared of that word. He said, you haven't obeyed the truth. You said, well, how can they obey the truth? That makes you work. The obeying the truth in this case makes you sit down. It makes you stop. And he says, if you obey the truth as you believed it, look at Romans. I'm back in now. I'm in Rome. Romans chapter 1. And then we'll go back to Corinthians. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. By whom? By Christ, Paul says, we have received grace and apostleship for to the what? Among all nations for his name's sake. He says,
so that's your work, is believing.
Say it again.
That's your work, is believing.
That's your work, is believing. In Thessalonians, he calls it this, the work of faith with power. Faith, you know what? Faith can work. I think there's a guy who wrote a book. Faith can work when you don't. You got to love that, man. That's when you trust him, when you hear that gospel, you trust him. That's it.
Well, it's kind of like a realization. It's like, okay, that's all that can be done is what he did. I know I can't do anything else. It's like, that's the rest.
Right. Okay, you're done. Whatever you think you can bring to the table, leave it. And that's it. And he says the gospel is, and that's what Romans shows you, that there's nothing you can bring to this except your sin. That's it. And to obey the gospel is to simply believe that he did it. All. And you have no hand in it other than the hand of faith that, you know, in the Old Testament, the sacrifice system, we know that Paul, writer of Hebrews, said it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sin. Did they know that? No.
Not until it was explained.
So, when.
Didn't know it was a picture, but right. At the time, they didn't know.
Okay, be there. And at the time where God says, this is what you do for acceptance, is you bring this blood sacrifice, this animal.
Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't if you didn't believe.
You wouldn't if you didn't believe. If you didn't believe in the process or the product, if you didn't think the animal could take away your sin, you wouldn't bring it. If you didn't believe in the process was an effectual process, you wouldn't do it.
Or you would bring a lamb.
Or you bring the wrong thing, right.
Or over time, it's just tradition, and the faith can get lost.
And that's where you have that, that it wasn't mixed with faith.
Yeah. It's like Cain, where he started rationalizing instead of, he's like, well, I'm bringing all this beautiful fruit and everything, but it's like, but God told you what he wanted.
God told him what he wanted.
Specifically.
But what he didn't, it wasn't mixed with faith.
Right.
So.
Wasn't even obedient.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't trust the process nor the product. God said this, bring it here. That's the process. Right, I don't have to write that. God said, bring this. That's the product. The lamb, right? The process, sacrifice it. The product is the lamb. Faith would bring it. If you didn't believe it, I think I'll bring this. Or I think I'll do this. Right. And he says, okay, it's rejected. Leviticus chapter 1. We'll hurry back in a moment here. So they didn't know that the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin, but that was God's prescription for them. Leviticus 1, verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. And if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. A male without blemish. Okay. All right. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. That's faith. At the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Product, process. Right there, right? And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him. To make what?
Atonement
for him. Product, process, then you get the results. And he says, he shall lay his hand upon the sacrifice. What's that?
To your right.
It's my right. Oh, thank you. Why do you think he wanted him to lay his hands on there?
He was trying to get him to understand the picture.
The picture.
Transferring,
right. That's right. He's happy. He doesn't know what's going on. just for your. And what he's doing is identifying himself with the sacrifice. Lord, I know that this is sin for me. I know that. He's identifying himself with that. That's called a what? That's right. In Romans, he said it's a what? Right. A satisfying sacrifice for God. When he does that, now this is not literal. It's spiritual transaction, but his sins are going where? Onto that lamb. And he says, you do it this way, bring it to where I say you bring it, and it will be what?
Sacrifice for you.
It will be what? You just read it. It will be
an atonement.
It will be accepted, what? For him or you. And it shall be an atonement a reconciler for you. What does he do after he offers the sacrifice? What does he do after that? After he puts his hand on the head, after he...
Oh, he kills the lamb.
After all that, what does he do? The priest kills the lamb. What does he do after that? The man, the offerer. What does he do after that?
Leave.
He leaves. Right. Right. Nothing. He does nothing after that. He goes and he realizes that what has happened?
Transaction.
Done.
I have been reconciled. I have made an atonement. Not me. This is what was effective. I just believed it and identified with it.
And it put a whole year's worth of sin.
And it put all the way back. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
In Romans 3, there it is. Okay. I don't know how we... back to Corinthians. I'm not even sure why I went over there now. But
I'm glad you did.
Oh, if you keep in memory, that's what we're...
That's
Paul was asking them, did you believe the process? Do you believe what happened? If you keep in memory what happened, he says, wherein you... If you believe this, he said, you're saved. That's not working. He says, if you believe this, he says, you're saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Do you ever wonder why he threw that in?
According to
the scriptures.
Hitting him over the head.
According to the scriptures.
Hello, you should have been reading.
It's a fact.
It's a fact. It's a fact. He said, he said it two times. He said, this is a fact to establish the matter. He said, this happened according... This is written.
Right.
This is recorded.
Okay, I thought she was getting to where, like, they should have known all of this if they were...
Well, they shouldn't doubt it. Yeah. They shouldn't doubt it. So, if you go out and have an accident, and it's if they fill out a police report, and it says, well, first he ran a red light, according to the report. Mm-hmm. And then he hit the car... And he got out and ran according to the report. And you say, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, right. The record says what?
He did.
And another person says, yeah, he did it because I saw him.
Okay.
And the scripture said, if we believe the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And Paul says, I didn't write this down. The scriptures. This is recorded in the scriptures. That he died for our sins and that he was buried. And he rose again according to the scriptures. You know, with Paul, you can see with Paul as a new apostle, where every time he writes and speaks, he has to say what? I'm not lying. He can't say, check the scripture, what I wrote, because he has to, what he's saying is building scriptures.
Right.
So when he says that, that's why he says that the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret, now it's manifest. And every time he speaks, he has to say, I speak the truth in Christ.
I'm not lying.
It's like saying, if I'm lying, let the Lord strike me down now.
So he has
saying, he's putting it out there.
He has to validate this, but this time he's writing to the Corinthians. He says, according to the scriptures, it's there. And he died, he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. He says, go ahead. Yeah.
It just ties really into what you've done, and that is, I think, like, if we were Jews and you'd just been teaching us out of Leviticus, and you'd shown them what the sacrifice was all about, and I had just gone and made that sacrifice, taken the sacrifice, and now I was on my way back to my tent, and you happened to be there, and I didn't look so good, so he says, what's the matter with you? And I said, well, I just don't know if the Lord has forgiven. That you would say to me, haven't you kept in memory?
Yes.
Unless you have believed in me.
Sure. Exactly. You know what? I won't turn there. There's a passage in John where the Lord heals a man. And he, when he heals a man, he tells him something. He says, go and show yourself to the priest. Why?
Under the law, and he had to confirm if he was healed, he had to go and offer sacrifices, right?
Yes, he had to offer a sacrifice under the law, but more importantly, the priest had to pronounce him clean. So, when the man comes there, everybody knew this man. When the man comes to the priest and he says, I'm here to offer to sacrifice because I'm healed.
He says, the stamp of authority on it.
He needed a stamp of authority on it. But even more than that is when he comes to the priest, when he comes to the tabernacle door, and he says, Blake? And he says, yeah. He says, you're healed. He says, yeah. Who healed you?
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
Yeah.
And he said, oh. There's another priest in town. You might not know him. He told me to come and offer the sacrifice. What would the priest do who Blake came to? He would say, I need to meet this guy. Where is he? Because he doesn't work with me. But they never did. Anyway, that's... So... That was the Lord. He's trying to get their attention that he said there's an effectual priesthood in town now.
Yeah.
So
the real thing.
No more types and shadows.
That game's over. Yeah. That dog won't hunt. But yes, great example is if you keep in. That's a good example of. Do you believe what the priest said? He's not just doing this, prescribing some empty ritual. It means what it means. And when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, this means what it means. The gospel said this, that he died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he did what? That's a record, a written record. How can some of you say that that record is not true?
Or not trust it.
Unless you, what? Didn't believe it. And it says, if you believe this, he says, you stand in this, and this is by which you are saved. Right?
Yeah.
Not here, but Paul has said, and he was seen of me.
You know what? And we'll get to that too. He said that. And he says in verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. He says, look, I know you know Peter. He says he was seen of Peter, the end of the 12. And he says, and 500. You can get, he says, some of them are dead, but you can find some of them and ask them how true it is. He said, did you see it? I sure did. Yeah. Did you? Yeah. Joe was there. Go ask Joe. Now you get this accumulation of witnesses. Acts 26. I love this verse. Matter of fact, get two verses. Acts chapter 3.
Saying no other things than those with the prophets and Moses did say should come.
Where are you talking? Acts
26.
No. Get Acts first. Get Acts chapter, I thought it was 3 or 4. Acts chapter, oh, you know what? I'm way off. It just hit me. I think it's in Acts, like, 7.
We need the context.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Well, you know what? It'll lose effect if I tell you that.
You want to hold on to that crescendo. Okay.
Well, I'm going to lose it because I can't find it. Where he says this, when he's talking about the resurrection, and he said that that God raised him from the dead, and he showed him openly among the people. She's working now. She's going to find it. You still need to read it though. It'll.
So it's to parallel his comments.
That's in Acts. Acts 10. Yeah, he was with Cornelius. That's it. Acts 10. Thank you. Acts 10:40. Good buddy. He says, verse 38, 37, 36. That's it. He says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day, just like he said, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Now, he said he showed him what?
Openly.
Acts 26. this is great. Start at verse 6. Paul's before Agrippa. He says, "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought an incredible thing with you that God should raise the dead?" He says, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." And he talks about what he did. Now, look over to verse 26:22. He says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue until this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ..." By the way, who is the prophets and Moses?
It's Old Testament. The Law and the Prophets.
Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets.
Old Testament
what? Scriptures. So when Paul can say that he died according to what?
The Scriptures.
And rose again according to?
The Scriptures.
He says, "I'm saying nothing but what Moses," he said, "that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." And as he thus spake, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." He said, "They know he got up. This was not done in secret. This thing was not done in a corner." You know what? Things happen now. This man rose from the dead. Where at? Oh, he's over in Ascademia somewhere. And they, what's his name? Well, we don't know. Where is he now? Well, we don't know.
But he rose.
I believe. Come on. Come on now. When Paul said this, he said, look, he said, verse 5, he said he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He gives you that list. He said, Peter seen him. The 12 seen him. 500 brethren seen him. And I did too. He said, last of all, he was seen of me also. Now, how can you tell me that you don't believe he got up? To the Corinthians. Really, James? It wasn't me. It was a comedian. He said, "I saw you going." It wasn't me. Mm-hmm. "You on video?" "That's not me." You have to deny the plain evidence. You know, one thing I was. This is. I'm not sure what this. The two greatest incidents in Scripture was the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the conversion of Paul. I read a book about that once.
And I'm thinking, why is that? You think that God showed his power at the Red Sea? That's a great feat. Mm-hmm. That's pretty powerful. All the plagues he put them through, that's power.
What about the incarnation?
But to use your enemy that's, to spread the word and change.
Look, the not only where Paul said, say it again.
The world, we killed him with our sin, or he had to die. Because it's what you were just saying.
She just defaulted, but the thing is this is when Paul talks about the resurrection, you know what? Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Now I want you to go through here and watch all these superlatives. Watch all of these words that magnify his action. How about that? That's, he says, we got to start and just read this prayer. Verse 15. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He says in chapter 1, he says, I want you to get to know Christ. I'm praying that God will give you a spirit to want to get to know him more. You know there's believers who don't really want to get to know him more, right?
Right. He might send you to Africa.
So I'm glad you said that. So we're going to see what's but Paul, he says, I'm praying just the opposite. He says, I'm praying and that power, that same power that raised up Christ from the dead and set him, he said, I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. What kind of power? The same power that raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. He said that power is available to you. When he talks about the resurrection power, the very next chapter, he says what? And you hath he quickened who are what? Dead in trespasses and sins. In time past, he talks about you walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past,
in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath what? Resurrected us with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath made us what? Raised us up and made us sit together in what? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I said that the two greatest events was the resurrection and Paul's conversion. When Paul said this, he says, before me, that power was not manifested.
He said, Gentiles?
Listen. Huh? Creation, that took power.
Yeah.
Red Sea, that took power. Signs, miracles, wonders, that took power. But Paul said this power is exceeding. What power? He said the power that brought Christ up from the grave.
Is the power that saved him.
He's right. He raised the power. He raised Lazarus up. And Paul said this. He said that this power, this exceeding greatness of his power, is to us who believe. The same resurrection power, Paul says, that in you, he said, it quickened you and raised you up and made you sit together in heavenly places in Christ. You say, oh, that's nothing. That's what you say. Paul said that it's the same exceeding greatness that raised him up that saves you and raises you up.
Because it's a dead man being raised to life again.
Eternal.
Look, that's why we lose a lot of people, because it's non-experiential. Mm. You know what? You don't see people acting because this power is inside.
It affects your mind, which should control your emotions, not the other way around.
Right. Look, how many people you see go through the monkey shine, but when it wears off, there's no sustaining power.
Yeah. It's just like that. All passing pleasures are sin.
Because they're just—it's outside. It's not.
It's external, right? Yeah. Look, he says, "The outward man perished, but the inward man is gaining power every day." But the reason I say that is because, think about this. What kind of power would it take to take Paul, like you said, Paul, who was breathing threatenings and slaughter against the Lord, to take a power and change a man's, not only a man's mind and behavior and destiny and purpose from an enemy to an ally? There's nothing like that.
And he gave up everything. He gave up his power, his prestige, his wealth, and he did it gladly.
Now, not just that. He did it, Paul said that, he did it for me.
For you.
For you. New, and it's like the Energizer. It's not running out. You can add them up everywhere.
Is it
universal?
Is it sort of a parallel to that when the Lord told the apostles, "Greater things than these you will do," because He was God doing them, but they were merely men. Is it a parallel.
It doesn't touch this.
No, but I'm saying the fact that it was coming from a man that had been changed by the power, that's what made it. Because you said greater than the, you know, all these things you were listing.
It's not Paul, but it's not. It's not.
No. He was the instrument.
That's where the power is. Listen, tie it in. This is where the power is. The power is in the gospel. The gospel is the resurrection. The resurrected Christ. That's the power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to all that, if ye
keep in mind what I preached unto you, unless you believed in that.
See, now here's the deal, and we'll stop here, is outside of Paul, I can't say it, we learn, that's what he prayed. He said, I want you to get to know him. I want you to get to know him and the power, that power that's available is, we read about it, we talk about it, but we're a little short on the experiencing the resurrection power. That's what Paul said to Philippians. He says, I'm not there yet. But I want to be conformed to his death, even the what? That's just one aspect of it. He says, I want to experience this. And look, in the Corinthians, how could they work for God when they don't even believe the very thing that will equip them to serve. He said, how can you say there's no resurrection? Everything you are or will be is hinging on that act. So we'll pick up next week and find out a little bit.